maybe say that the reason that the IRS put me through an audit was that, because maybe they caught word of this. I don't know, but you know, Ted talks about his experience with ours. I can tell you about mine. Now, I didn't go the route he did, but I can tell you my last talk that I had with a I went all the way to appeals. And it took me 2 to 3 years to get there. And I learned so much about the IRS that I think if they realized how much I was going to learn, they would have left me alone to begin with. But I learned all kinds of stuff about them. But anyway, the guy at appeals, once I got him out of his game face, you know. He first had the game face, you know, the stoic, you know, resist, you know, that all sort of thing, come down with the sledgehammer type. And then when you actually got him past that, where he's actually talking to you as a person. And then all of a sudden, I've got to hear some thoroughly interesting things, like he's trying to help his relative, because he's an appeals officer for IRS, get through their taxes, and he's frustrated. And he's, in his opinion, he says every loophole that's in the code, he says, is because a congressman put it there for his own benefit, or I would add, maybe benefit of somebody who gave him a big donation. And that's why it's so complex, nobody understands it. And this guy's complaining that people go to these H&R Block and that sort of thing, and for a 1040 EZ, which is the most simple tax form, they're charging them $100 to do that. People are so afraid of the IRS. What I found out is they're more afraid of you than you are them. Both are true. And then Ted admitted he was nervous. I was nervous too. I was afraid of them. But they are afraid of you. And that's why they'd rather talk to your attorney or your accountant than you. And the guy, the appeals officer called me on the phone and offered to settle, basically. And I said, if they throw me a bone, I've had enough, I'm out. So I took it. But he didn't want, they first put me with appeals on the, what do they call it, California, what it was, what is that city, I can't remember, it said campus, but it was that Fresno campus. Now how am I supposed to go to California, Fresno campus, and go talk to my people? You had to do by phone, right? They don't want you to they don't want to see you face to face, yeah. And so I got it transferred to Charleston. Well, he calls me up. He doesn't want me to. He doesn't want me to see me face to face. So he makes an offer. See. So, but all through all this, they're frustrated with it, with this thing. And I got the distinct impression of him. He says, I don't see where it's ever going to change in my lifetime. He's around my age, I think. He says because it's so many, too much people are making too much money on it. And of course, there's accountants, tax lawyers, all kinds of money be floating around, just like this. And believe it or not, in my profession too, which I'm an IT person, the same type of thing happened. I've worked with computers. Same type of thing happens there. We don't have by far, the best computers that we could have. But we have the money's flow. That's basically, and there's reasons for that they actually went backwards for some time, and the reason we, but that's another story. Yeah.
We had a bad experience. My husband. Have you ever heard Shackley Nutrition?
My wife is a big into that.
Okay. Anyhow, they audited us that maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I was teaching full time then. And anyhow, my husband kept insisting that we didn't own, because he always did his own tax records.
Yeah.
So he kept records and everything. So we offered to bring him in every single thing, you know.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, they ended up garnishing my check. Well, that was embarrassing, because the guy that signed my check was a little boy in Cecil class.
Was it what?
He was a little boy in church when I went to church, same church.
Yeah.
And I thought, gosh, that looks bad on me, like I'm trying to cheat the government.
Oh, every time when they find your auditors, they think, oh, you've done something wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Not true.
But we just came on fighting, you know. Finally, we won, and they gave us money back. But whenever they garnished my wages, and then they had, we had a fire in a chimney fire.
Yeah.
And insurance paid us $1,000 so we could get our chimney repaired and fixed again, you know. Well, they had checked our account and saw that money there and zapped that money out of our account, the IRS.
Wow.
And, but in the meantime, I had written about 13 checks. They all bounced.
Oh, wow.
Of course, we had to pay that, you know, that
yeah,
fee.
The fee, right?
Well, do you think they said, I'm sorry, when they said they made a mistake? Do you think they reimbursed me for all those checks?
Nope. I know. I've been working with them.
Oh, yeah. It's so dirty what they do.
I know.
But they did reimburse us for the money that they zapped our account, but they didn't reimburse the bad checks.
And they continue to charge us why our case, they wouldn't send it to appeals. And I had to fight that for 2 years to get to be appeals. They continue to charge us interest and late penalties and all this kind of stuff. And their interest rates is like, who gets 8-9%?
Yeah.
I'm lucky to get 2%. Yeah. So they just, they try to, and they send you these threatening letters that are printed by a computer. I'm sure you got them too,
oh, yeah.
Didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and we're looking for assets to attach. I tell people, I say, the bad news is Big Brother is watching you. The good news is Big Brother is incompetent. Because they were trying to attach a CD that we had cashed in over 2 years ago. It was already matured.
That's unreal. Yeah. It's unreal. Mm. So I had your name and phone number.
Yeah.
And I can verify this on computer.
Yeah. And this machine is a GB4000. It's really right now the only one that I'm recommending. GB. G as in good, B as in boy, 4000. And there are distributors out there and on the internet that you can buy from. So I don't have a problem if people want to buy them there. I can save them a few $100. Yeah.
You told me about it. My daughter would help me some with finances. She's got money.
Oh.
My son, he's a retired policeman.
Oh.
And because of the corruption in the Ohio police system there, he took an early retirement at 55. So he's now 59. But
I'm 59 still working. What does that tell you?
I can be your mother.
What else does that tell you?
My son is 59.
Oh, is that right?
See, I could be your mom.
Yeah, well, there you go, Wussy. Jim, same guy that I was telling you about here.
Yeah.
When I was talking to him about him buying this machine and stuff, must be 64 because he's signing up for Medicare. And I asked him, I said, how much does it cost?
Uh-huh.
He says, there's several plans. And I didn't know this yet.
Yeah.
I said, well, he says, he's a little over about $110. I said, is that for you and your wife or just you? He says, that's just for me. My wife has to pay another $110? He says, yeah. And she gets 3 months later, she turns 65, okay? So we're talking about this. He says, but I'm not complaining. He says, right now I have a policy that covers us, and I'm paying $7,000 a quarter, $28,000 a year.
Oh, my.
I didn't have the courage to tell him that I don't make that much in a year's time.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, can you imagine?
I don't. Yeah.
That's just absolutely unbelievable. Now, he has the hearing problems, and he may have a few other health problems, but so what? Those people who get to be that age have something, you know?
When I came in, I got to say hello, and I have a dirty plate there I need to throw away.
Oh, this one here?
Stay put.
Is this yours?
Thank you very much, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, this first one is really good.
This is yours, too?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Well, let me get it.
No, that's all. That's all.
Are you sure?
I know that's all. Thank you. Stay put, because I do have to go.
Without a babysitter.
Well, I guess we always end up staying alone.
So cool. Oh, it's raining.
I'm so glad I came. This is maybe something that'll help my granddaughter. Mine got me too.
I wish there was a network. I wish there was a network so that I could, you know, find somebody who's close by up there that, you know, they wouldn't have to come so far. And I've had other people ask me the same thing, but everybody is so low-key and so afraid of them coming down on them and putting them in jail, which they have done this.
Oh, yeah.
They've done it.
It's just like in Beckley, where there was a doctor there that was doing treatment that was a little out of the ordinary. Well, it got worried around in the other medical area, you know.
Yeah.
The first thing you know, he had to close his clinic.
It happens again and again and again. You know, the American Medical Association, you know how it got started? 1850. Doctors on the West Coast would find out something that worked, and they wanted to be able to tell doctors on the East Coast what they had good luck with, right? And they wanted to know what the doctors on the East Coast were finding worked for certain things that they didn't have anything that would do any good for their people. So it had very good start, good reason. Why don't we form an association where we can share information, you know, across the country, across the world? So the AMA was born, all right? Problem was that when AMA, around at the turn of the 20th century, decided that they would actually get involved with the medical schools, and they started dictating what the medical schools would teach. See? And then Morris Fishbein, who stopped out the right, well, they actually finally threw him out in 1949. The doctor just got tired of he was the dictator.
Yeah.
He just says, this is the way it's going to be. And you know, the man, he got his medical license, and he'd only practiced for 6 months when he became head of the AMA. And he ran it like this. It says, okay, you want your drug, you want your drug approved? He says, okay, fine, you're going to buy ad space in the AMA journal.
That's what happened.
Yeah, that's what he said.
And one thing
led to
another.
So once they buy the ad space in the AMA journal, whether the drug worked or not, it didn't matter. He approved it. They didn't buy ad space. I don't care how good your drug is, you're not going to prove.
Being in the nutrition business, my husband, he had stopped down here at Beaver looking for paperbacks on nutrition and health.
Yeah.
When we first got started back in the 80s. And he came across this book that said, A World Without Cancer. And it was written by Ed Griffin, I believe. But anyhow, it started out talking about the oil industry. I thought, wait a minute, what's that got to do with cancer?
Oh, everything.
But guess what?
Yeah.
The Rockefeller Foundation, well, he was into oil, and he's with Exxon, maybe. Because the Mellon family was with Gulf. But anyhow,
yes, he was.
It said that if you think he made money in the oil industry, it was nothing compared to what he did in the pharmaceutical company. It said that if a medical school taught anything on nutrition, they did not get one shiny dime from the Rockefeller Foundation. And
see,
so
yeah.
Therefore, they did not teach nutrition because they could use a generous donation from the Rockefeller Foundation. And see, that then they were playing up, they had to play up the, of course, the drug issues instead of the nutrition issues.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason doctors don't know any more about nutrition than most people on the street, you know. And I'm sure we know more than they do, because when we got involved with Shapley, it was nutrition that we were taught. And,
well, you know what Rockefeller said when J.P. Morgan died?
No.
Well, they found out that he was worth about $120 million when he died, and Rockefeller was worth $900 million at that time. He said, and I thought J.P. Morgan was a rich man.
Look what they're both worth. Well, look what he's worth now.
Yeah, J.P. Morgan, by, you know, most people's, was very, very well. There was a quote from my boss, actually, had this quote, 1962, Nelson Rockefeller, who was running for president, made this statement. Take your average American family, say, making $100,000 a year.
Average?
Average American family making $100,000 a year in 1962.
I don't think so.
You think he might have been just a wee bit out of touch? And you know, they told George W., they asked him how much a gallon of milk cost, and he had no idea. He never bought any.
George Bush's father, I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but I'm talking about the first President Bush.
Yeah.
They had a commercial of him going through a line at, I'll say, Walmart, and you know how you're scanning your...
Yeah.
He was looking around like he didn't know what that sound was. They were trying to, it was like showing that he's just one of us, but he on the commercial, he was going... He didn't know
where's that beat coming from?
Yeah. What is that? So he had never done that.
And so... But that gets into a whole world. But I think that we will get to a point where that stuff is going to start coming out into the open. And
I saw this headline said a Nazi in the White House. Well, I thought, gosh, are they talking about Obama or who? It was part six, and I thought, well, if it's got part six, there's a part 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. So I did like Ted says to do, go to Google and type in Nazi in the White House. I did that last night. I read all part 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Wow.
Let me guess, Bush?
Six. Yes, Daddy Bush.
Yeah, Prescott Bush was a full-fledged Nazi.
Well,
that was Grandpa.
Daddy Bush was born.
Well, you know what happened there?
He was born there, darling.
You know, what happened there was, of course, when World War II started, there was German companies loaning money to America. I mean, there was German banks loaning money to American companies who were building arms. And there was American banks loaning money to Germans to build tanks. Okay? And, well, they all thought this was just fine and dandy because everybody profits from war if you're wealthy. But the problem was, all of a sudden, we started bombing German factories. Oh, wait a minute. This didn't happen. This never happened before. This didn't happen in World War I. These are our factories. They're bombing our factories. And the big meeting they had after World War II was because, and Prescott Bush was there, was 200 industrialists across the world said, we can't let this happen again.
Yeah.
And so they finally hit home. They finally hit home. And so that's the reason now you have the United Nations or whatever it has to do. They got to keep World War III from occurring because they got a lot to lose.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, you know,
and they didn't have the they didn't do it like they did in St. Mary's, keeping all the
way on my head.
You had to wear a mask and stuff like that.
Well, it'll come back later.
Yeah, I know that feeling too.
Well, it's like, was it John Kerry's wife that is the Heinz heiress?
Yes.
But see how, and again, I know this is small potatoes compared to what we've had since that.
Yeah.
But when he was running for president, I got to thinking, how could he possibly be a useful president when... If we went to war with anybody, they got Heinz $1 billion.
Good to see you there.
Yeah, you too.
Believe me, you're not crazy. You don't have to get it. You're not crazy. What you're saying is true, unfortunately.
Yeah.
What you're saying is true about the government, unfortunately. See you there.
See you.
I've forgotten your name again.
Tom.
Tom.
That's all right. I forget people's names too.
You see what I'm saying? Hell, if we went to war with anyone, they're going to be bombing his wife's anywhere.
Right.
So that's a conflict of interest.
Exactly.
How could he be president? You couldn't bomb anybody because they've got Heinz facilities everywhere.
But that's not that would be a bad thing. Yeah. Why do we need to bomb? Why do we need to bomb the smithereens out of Iraq? Yes.
I mean, there's no way he could be a useful president if he's got. He couldn't be.
You know, I read something kind of shocking. It's been about 2 weeks ago. Then last night I read something else.
It's true what you were saying.
Like Captain Trey. Well, the Joyce Foundation. Have you heard about it?
Yes.
The what?
Joyce Foundation.
Never heard of it.
Well,
no.
See, my dad was in the timber business, and he had timber trucks and a bulldozer and all that equipment, you know. But this Joyce Foundation, he didn't make the money that they made in the lumber business. There was multi-millions that they had made. And they give money left and right to different foundations. All right, she gave, I forgot how much it was, to this boy starting the cap and trade for, you know. And here is Al Gore. Obama was on the board, the Joyce Foundation.
I was getting ready to tell you, Obama's up to his neck in the Joyce Foundation.
Wasn't that a shock, Ruth?
Yes.
Well, what happened was that back, you know, remember when Obama and Hillary Clinton were running neck and neck.
Yes.
And neither of them was going to blink, right?
Right.
All of a sudden, for 3 days, you remember, they disappeared. And you know, the news people couldn't find them, and news people couldn't find anybody. Uh-huh. They could not find what happened to them. But guess who did find them? Alex Jones found them. They were at the Bilderberg group. Yeah.
Together.
Both of them were there. After that, Hillary Clinton drops out. Obama goes forth. He had gotten the blessing of the Bilderberg group. So the powers that be says, yes, you go ahead and you can go ahead and be president.
The media and
both parties are under the wing of this wing of this thing. They're deciding. But what I'm trying to say is that I know people that maybe it's not the multinational corporations, although I think they're very powerful, but maybe if Sitchin is right, it's this the Illuminati, which are really those who have blood from Nibiru, from alien blood, and that's why they think it's all right to sacrifice 3,000 slaves at the World Trade Center. They're just slaves.
See, in their philosophy, there was nothing wrong with that. That was just step three or whatever. Step four.
Yeah. This was a slave race that we,
that was necessary in order. But see, the thing is, we would have never had the equivalence of the SS is over here now, Homeland Security. We now have an SS. We would have never had that without those buildings going down. Because the pre 9/11 America wouldn't have put up with that.
Yes.
And the Patriot Act pre 9/11 America wouldn't have put up with that.
Yes.
Real ID, this Obamacare. See, they're allowed. That right there was a sales pitch to get all this stuff, the paperwork, all the illegal, treasonous legislation.
Exactly.
Pre 9/11 wouldn't have put up with that stuff.
And they knew that.
Right.
But the evil and the whole thing about the health plan. The health plan, I think, it's probably going to do more good than harm in the end. But they gave the oversight of the health care plan to the IRS. I can't forgive either party for letting that happen without anybody raising a fuss. Nobody raised a fuss about that.
Well, you know what? Election time is coming up. If people don't get rid of those people that...
But who are you going to vote for? Who?
That's just it. Some of them didn't...
I mean, are you going to throw the Democrats out and put the Republicans in?
No, it doesn't do any good.
Yeah, they're going.
Either way you go, there.
You're screwed either way. Yeah. You put the Republicans in. Now they're going. All right, we just took care of Iraq. Let's go into Iran now. Let's start another war.
Did you know that when Kerry and Bush were running against each other, and I heard this. I swear I heard this come out of Kerry's mouth. Someone, I wish I could remember who it was questioning, but he said it doesn't matter which one of us get in. We both have the same agenda. In other words, Kerry said that.
Yeah.
He said if George gets in or I get in, we're doing the same. We have the same. Of things to do.
And Bill Clinton, when they asked him about, he says, actually, is am I the only one that likes both these guys?
Right, did you ever go to Skull and Bones in the back?
Google? They're both in there, yeah.
It showed which one introduced the other. Was it John Kerry introduced Bush Jr. into Skull and Bones? One of them invited the other. I can't remember which it was.
Well, I don't know, but here, do you know who, when they were investigating whether George Bush had any, any as far as 9/11, if he was in any criminal, there was an investigating committee, and who was the head of that committee? I'll give you one guess. John Kerry.
Oh, present.
He says, George Bush did no wrong.
Like
that was the finding. He did no wrong. He couldn't have known.
Like putting the fox in the hen house.
Yeah.
I think that Rudy Giuliani was in it up to his neck.
I did too.
I think, what's the other guy? Cheney? I think he was in. He was probably
Cheney.
The kingpin.
Yeah,
probably
I agree.
The kingpin.
Yeah.
Oh, he made just huge amounts of money from, and he was in cahoots with that, the one that they gave the no-bid contracts to.
Yeah. Now, why would, just in your opinion, why is it crystal clear to us, but when you talk about it to outside of this room?
Oh, yeah.
And why did anybody not have a problem with the fact that George Bush had business relations with Osama bin Laden's brother?
Exactly.
but here, I've done a lot of research on that, but I'll be honest with you, it's not boasting or nothing, but I knew that before I done the research. I smelled it, I felt it.
Well, you know
the Cheney connection.
And you know that 4 days after 9/11, Osama bin Laden came out, and it was on the news. This was on the evening news, that he had nothing to do with it, but he congratulated those people who did.
Yes, I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, but he's the kingpin of it.
11 months before 9/11 went down, he was in a Los Angeles hospital getting a liver transplant. Obama.
Yeah, he had he had advanced diabetes.
And Rumsfeld went and ate dinner with him at the hospital.
Well, here's what I heard. I don't know if it's on the internet or who, that Obama supposedly was getting a dialysis.
Dialysis.
At the hospital when his 911 was happening. Or his family was there at the hospital too, but they allowed them to fly out and leave America.
Oh, they were the only planes in the air.
Exactly.
All the other planes were on the ground.
Exactly. But see, Obama's not been in no cave in Afghanistan.
No.
They don't have equipment in there for his liver treatment.
No.
In a cave. In fact, I heard that he died December 2000-something.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't heard. We'll never know. He's going to live forever in our book. Yeah, because he's going to live to be 100.
They may.
That's right. The pin something on him. He'll be 150.
Can't close that book yet. We might need him again.
Yeah.
And you know someone else that lives forever is Henry Kissinger.
Yeah.
Didn't he supposed to die a long time ago?
I don't know, but I did hear this. In fact, Alex Jones was the one that told this, and you guys might have heard this too. But he went, you know how he breaks into those meetings, the Bilderberg meetings? Somehow he got in there.
Who got in there?
It was either
Alex Jones?
It was either him or a friend of his, somebody he knew.
Well, he knew, he had some connections on the inside there.
Well, I don't know if it was Alex, but that's where I got the information from. But it was either Alex or somebody he knew went in there. Kissinger is standing here, and when he walks up and says something to Kissinger, and Kissinger spoke in a perfectly, no accent at all, and then realized, oh, he's not one of us, and then he started with it. So in other words, he claims that Kissinger doesn't speak like that.
Oh.
Now, I don't know that that's true, but he said that Kissinger spoke just like we do, and then all of a sudden he realized, oh, wait, he's not one of us.
Yeah.
And then he started up with that Russian whatever.
Yeah, that.
See? And it wouldn't surprise me at all.
I guess you guys are probably familiar with the September 10th when Rumsfeld said that there's $2.3 trillion that the Pentagon cannot account for.
Right.
Yeah.
How convenient.
Yeah, exactly.
September 10th, 2001,
exactly.
The day before that happened.
Exactly. And then that never came up again.
That's right.
Well, if you ever seen on the internet about the Zionist Jews, how they're all connected with the 9/11.
But the thing about it is that the other thing is that I think a lot of people don't realize that Zionism and Judaism are two different things.
Exactly, yeah.
They're not the same thing. And I think if I were to guess, I'd say Zionism are those Jews who have that special blue blood, whatever you call it, Illuminati blood in them, that makes them think. And I heard a friend of mine just talking about, and Ted wanted me to bring them here, but that's a little complicated. But anyway, she was talking about things that she had researched for Lady Diana and her death. And she was saying that she had found that it was the 13th pillar in that tunnel. And above that tunnel the crash occurred in is this symbol. It's an Illuminati symbol. That's some sort of symbol on top of that bridge. And that everything was choreographed, and that her driver, that sort of thing, when they showed the film of him coming out, because the paparazzi was everywhere taking pictures, his eyes were huge, like he was in some type of spell when he's coming out to driver that night. And that she said, I don't know where she come across it, but she said that they actually, when they took her in, she was still living when they took her into the hospital, she was still living, and that they, she says, don't let them hurt me, or don't let them, something like, she said something to that effect, or help me, or something like that, and that they drained her blood in there, because she had, they drained her blood because she had that blue blood in her
Illuminati
blood, yeah. And maybe, and that they wanted to use that for their rituals or whatever they do. And that's, you remember the where they buried her and the funeral and all that kind of stuff is controversial.
Yeah.
They, well, don't you remember that her family wanted to, her to, they wanted to bury her somewhere else? They wanted her body, and they wanted, of course, they wanted to do an autopsy, which that all, none of that happened. And they actually lost, I think they lost that battle to have her body buried where they wanted to bury her. Her family couldn't do it. They then she went somewhere, somewhere. But anyway, nobody got to examine that body after that. That's what she said, she found out when she researched it, yeah.
You guys have a good evening.
Okay, you too.
Good to see you.
It's a 7:10. Yeah, I need to be getting going here too, because I'm supposed to speak with my mom and my wife and maybe my daughter, my brother, at Fazio's for dinner at 7:30, so I have to get going pretty soon here. This is really great, but just not enough time to really get into, there's just doesn't seem, things that go so fast now. Like,
at least Shelley Moore Capito didn't vote for the health care bill. She
okay.
was the only one in the whole. Rockefeller did, Senator Byrd did, Air Congressman Ray Hall did, and Monahan did.
Mm-hmm.
Shelley.
Well, it's the Republicans, she was a Republican, see, that all the Republicans voted against it. And, but I think, not necessarily through by design, but in the end, it will be, it turned out to be a good thing for our country. But we'll have to fix an awful lot of stuff. I don't, the Republicans were talking about taking it out and putting something else in. Well, okay, fine. But, George Bush was in power, been there for 8 years. He had every chance to start something. But so I would think if they did that, they would water it down to where it really wouldn't be of any effect. Yeah. Just like they did with, remember the Arizona Senator, John McCain. He sponsored the finance reform bill. By the time they passed that thing, it was so watered down, it was totally powerless. And he was mad about it. But now, he's okay. Sounds like somebody took him aside and had a talking to him, don't you think?
Probably. But I wasn't for John McCain, and I wasn't for Obama. We had no choice.
That's it. You don't. And anybody who tries to go for a third party, the interesting person to listen to and research is Jesse Ventura.
Yes.
If you have, and he did that True TV thing. Did you ever see any of those? The conspiracy theory on
TV?
Yeah. They disappeared all of a sudden, though.
I know what happened.
What do you think happened? Somebody says, nope, we're not, he's getting too close to the truth here.
Yeah.
Take him off the air. It's obvious, because it's obvious because his show, when it went premiered, was the highest viewing audience that True TV has ever had. So why do you take that off the air?
Because the other stations were
That's
being left out. And too much truth is coming out.
Yeah, too much is coming out, yeah.
I liked his way of researching that. Like when he went to HAARP, did you see that?
The harp, yeah.
Yeah.
I read a book called Angels Don't Play This Harp, yeah. Yeah,
they sure don't. But you know what? In the beginning, it was designed to do good. But the ones that got control used it for bad.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder about a lot of things that happen on the earth. If that is not really good.
Well, we have all these earthquakes going down. And
have you ever heard of Four Winds?
What's that?
Four Winds 10.com.
Never heard of it. I haven't heard of it.
I read that a lot. This is by a gentleman. His name is Patrick Miller. Yeah. See the website. And it's that probably very different problems. I want something to drink.
I made a turkey and it's hot.
Okay, I'll be back.
Well, if I wasn't didn't have a dinner date, that got a good call. It's called Four Winds Ten. Okay.
.com. And it's about Patrick Billringer. He's had a degree in theology.
Yeah.
And he's also been a farmer. And he's also been a school teacher. And he moved up to either North Dakota or Minnesota, somewhere up that area. But he's got an interesting And then when you see Hello Central, if anyone wants to know something that he might have an answer to, they just say Hello Central, and you can he'll email it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Four Winds Ten. Okay. Very good.
Like that's the mall.
He
responded about the Somali. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. He said, what had happened? That several countries have been dumping nuclear waste along the coastline and killing their fish.
Oh.
So the people were going hungry. They're starving. So his parents evidently robbed somebody that needed to be robbed, like
Like what?
Goldman Sachs.
Oh, yes,
All right. He had to read the article because he said, Patrick Billing said, if your family's going hungry, would you not go out and take something from someone to feed your family? He said, that's what these parents were doing.
Oh.
They had poisoned their water with nuclear waste, and they had no food. And they were out trying to help save the world.
Yeah. And in the end, if you and your family are going to die, why not? Go after it.
Yeah.
What do you got to lose?
What's the bad on the other side?
What's that?
What's the bad on the other side?
Yeah.
Like this man told his wife as he walked down the streets of Golden, and he said to his wife, he said, well, if you had been trying to keep me on vitamins all the time, I might have been your sinner.
If it what?
If you hadn't been trying to keep me on vitamins all the time, I might have been here sooner.
Oh, sooner. Well, there's a friend of mine who says, it's a direct quote from, who was it that wrote the, for communism, Marx, says that when the people go hungry, you're 3 days away from a revolution.
There may be a bunch of people hungry, something doesn't happen, you know.
Yeah. Okay, well, I gotta head on out. Barbersville, Yeah.
Well, I live in Roy County.
Oh, okay.
14 miles past Bakery toward Flattop Mountain.
Oh, really?
I live about 5 minutes from Mesquite.
Oh. I got some friends that live down there, but I can't remember the name of the town. It's around Beckley, too, but I don't remember the name of the town. Down there.
I can't get up.
Hey, no problem. I thank you for letting me give the floor there because there's a lot of interest.
Yeah, we got a crowd here tonight.
Yeah, and there's a lot of interest in.
Several times.
Yeah, and I've dedicated probably the rest of my life to just getting the word out and through the grassroots efforts.
You know, I was telling George. George is in my ballroom.
This year? Oh.
I was going to reconnect with it. Like that, it was.